This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Communities in La Crosse County recently began considering ways to regionalize emergency services. It's not a new conversation for the area, with some residents of smaller communities voicing concerns about losing their independence. But others say regionalizing government services like police and fire departments could improve services and save money. Joining us now to talk about the pros and cons of a more regional approach to government services are Joe Chilson, mayor of the city of Onalaska, Ken Gilliam, chief of the La Crosse Fire Department, and John Kovari, an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, who specializes in local government. So, Ken, it's my understanding that you are the one that kind of prompted this conversation, or most recent conversation, about regionalizing fire services. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, what made you want to kind of start this conversation?
Certainly. I by no means started the conversation, and I won't take credit for prompting it. I started in late June of 2017, got sworn into office on July 1st. So kind of coming up on my one-year anniversary here. And as I, the first few months here, as I started talking to people within my organization, people in neighboring organizations, started running the gauntlet of all the civic community meetings and different things, I heard a tremendous buzz about the regional concept, fire districting, partnerships, things like that. And as I look more into it, we've been having the discussion for a good 20 to 30 years. There's been different internal studies and conversations as people have come and gone and changed in their positions. And I just kind of took advantage of the buzz. And as I continued to talk to people, got positive feedback. And here we are today, 12 months later, and kind of stirred up the hornet's nest a bit. But I think we're getting some great conversation out there and see where it goes.
Do you feel like that interest was coming from people who are associated with, you know, emergency services, or do you think it's coming from, you know, local residents or other leaders in the community?
Yeah, all of the above. It's I've had pretty good feedback. You know, there's certainly people that have legitimate concerns, and a lot of times we're worried about things that are so far down the road in the discussion that we're not to that point. You know, I've made the comments before. We start talking about a regionalized fire partnership or public safety partnership, and people instantaneously go to worrying about which stickers are going to be on the doors and who's paying for what. And it's like, can we at least analyze it and kind of get everything up front to have a data-driven discussion? But overall, the vast majority of the people have been very supportive of at least the concept of the conversation.
Mayor Chilson, I wonder where you stand on this issue of thinking about how to maybe possibly regionalize emergency services or other services.
I'm for regionalizing everything, at least talking about it. It used to be a good idea to collaborate. Now, lately, the way expenditure restraints are, it's a must. We just simply have to start finding ways where we can spend our money wiser. And with fire service, you know, we have an added piece there that there's people's lives at stake. And we have budgets that aren't always growing at the rate we would like. So we have to find out how we can do the most with the amount of money that we have. And that speaks right to collaboration. We started in the county with the tourism collaboration, and that took, some people said they were talking about it 30 years ago, but we got that done, and I think that we can just continue to do this, and I'm for talking about any kind of collaboration where we can be much more efficient.
Yeah, can you share, you mentioned tourism,
yes.
But are there other services or departments that are kind of been regionalized over the years between these communities in the La Crosse area?
Well, I think tourism was the one, and we dipped our toe in the water with that one, and the people that made that happen, we all said that we have to make this work because this is that first pancake. And they're going to look at how that first pancake goes. And I don't know about the others, but in Onalaska, we saved $250,000 each year since we've done that.
You know, John, I wonder, you know, Mayor Chilson brings up the savings and the money and figuring out how to do more with less. And I wonder if you could share a little bit about how, you know, that revenue piece of it, that budgeting piece of it could really influence these conversations.
Yeah, definitely. So there's two schools of thought, right, where you can have a spectrum of kind of cooperation and consolidation, where on the one hand, you've got all of these local communities that have their own police department, have their own fire department, have their own library, and people vote with their feet. So these local communities are competing with one another, and there's efficiencies that are created because of that. In Milwaukee County, every single municipality has its own police department. On the other end of the spectrum, there's Las Vegas. Las Vegas has one sheriff's department. And the idea is that, well, when we consolidate, when we regionalize, we can save money because, well, there are three reasons. One is that instead of a dozen different fire chiefs or police chiefs, you've got one, right? You can save on administrative costs. Also, you can save on reducing duplicated services. So instead of having two different fire stations right across the street from one another because there's a boundary in between, you only need one, right? So you can save costs by reducing that duplication. And then the third is just economies of scale. You can buy in bulk, right? Especially when you don't need 30 different fire trucks at seven different fire stations. All you need is a dozen, right? All you need is 15 to cover the same geographic area. So the literature is kind of split. There's some mixed findings there, but that's the general theory.
What are supporters of having their, you know, their own individual municipal leaders and rather than regionalizing? You mentioned Milwaukee as an example of that side. Can you talk more about what are the pros of that approach?
So it's all about having local control. So if there's a problem somewhere, people can go to their mayor, people can go to their fire chief or their police chief and say, hey, we're having this problem. And those officials are closer to home. Instead of having to complain or go to someone from a regionalized authority that might not have so much of a vested local interest. So this is the concern. This is the big concern with regionalization, is that there's that loss of autonomy, that closeness to local officials, elected officials, that will usher in a kind of a more localized response.
Ken, you come from the Twin Cities area most recently, correct?
Correct.
And I wonder if you could share a little bit about how they approach their emergency services.
Certainly a much larger population base and a lot more levels of government and numerous counties stacked on top of each other. Over the past, certainly I've been in the fire service for about 27 years. Over the past decade, I've seen a lot of positive movement towards it in the Twin Cities metro area, similar to Milwaukee and other areas around the country. Most recently in the county that I was working in Ramsey County, I think there was about 14 fire departments there. And as I was leaving, we were just wrapping up some finishing touches on no boundaries dispatching when it came to structure fires and heart attacks in progress. With the aid of computer-aided dispatch and GPS units tracking where the rigs were and a centralized dispatch agency, very similar to La Crosse, where we have a county dispatch, as an ambulance or as a fire truck was close to a scene, it was, do we want to send the closest trained unit, or do we want to send our unit maybe from further away because it's in our town? So we just gotten over that hump, and it's I've been hearing positive things. There's certainly been some bumps in the road up there, but certainly my peers up there have been hearing some feedback on the efforts we did there, and it's been a good thing, I think, for the end users, the citizens that are getting a faster service for emergency safety needs.
Yeah, do you feel like there are takeaways from that situation that the, you know, the La Crosse area, you know, could look to as an example of how to change our services?
Absolutely. Certainly on the technology end, as we look for partnerships together, we're on different radio systems. We've got some bridging that we use to talk to our neighboring fire departments that are across an imaginary line on a map, but we're on different frequencies in some cases. We've got different training and education standards, so depending on which block you're living on, you're getting a different level of trained firefighter or EMT or paramedic showing up. I think as you look at that, it's really, yeah, it's a no-brainer as far as I'm concerned. As we set consistent standards between the communities, there's benefits and gains for everybody to be had. So,
you're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Today we're talking about the latest push for a more regional approach to government services in La Crosse and surrounding communities. We're here with La Crosse Fire Chief Ken Gilliam, Onalaska Mayor Joe Chilson, and UWL political scientist John Kavari. Ken, I wonder if you could share a little bit about, how fire services are currently dispatched to respond to emergencies or to help, neighboring agencies?
Oh, sure. So you have a problem and you pick up the phone and dial 911. And then currently in La Crosse County, the county dispatch agency underneath the county and sheriff's office there, they pick up that 911 call and then basically they triage it. They start asking a series of questions to find out, is it police, is it fire, is it EMS, is it all of the above? As they gain details, we really focus a lot on getting the appropriate resources on the road as soon as humanly possible. So all of our entities are working with Emergency Dispatch Center all the time on just shortening up that gap to, get the fire trucks on the road, get the ambulances on the road. As we go out and respond to an emergency, currently it's we call it mutual aid. We've got signed contracts between all the municipalities. There's actually a countywide agreement that they got done in 2015 that basically says there's no cost. You call us, we'll come. Each municipality has the ability to decline if you're short staffed, if there's problems. You don't have to leave the city for whatever reason. You can pass, but those agreements are already in place. The gap is that's the human piece of it where we have to remember to call for help. And as you look at the dynamics of a commercial structure fire, a residential structure fire, a massive multi-vehicle accident, things like that, there's stressors that our incident commanders start to get overloaded with. And there have been instances in this area and around the country where kind of that time lag of that situational awareness, we forget to call. Or we forget to call the closest agency because we're used to working with a different one. And all of a sudden, we're kind of hopscotching around and then feelings get hurt and on down that road we go. So as we use technology to bridge that gap, can we set up automatic mutual aid agreements? And I think that's the next step for a lot of our organizations is based on certain criteria, i.e. smoke showing from a structure that's obviously on fire, multiple 911 calls from a freeway accident, instead of sending just that fire department that's jurisdictionally responsible for it, why don't we send the closest two or three fire departments to it? First one gets there. If there's nothing going on, we cancel the others. They return back to their quarters. But if we need that staffing, then we get it there on the road that much quicker. And it's really just closing up that gap of timelines using an automatic agreement like that. That's truly the first step.
Mayor Chilson, what are your thoughts on how, currently the fire department in Onalaska is working with other neighboring agencies?
Well, I think we work with other agencies, but I think sometimes definitions of when to use what and how get a little foggy. And we need to get ironclad definitions, say, this is what MABUS is, this is what mutual aid is, this is what auto aid is, and this is when you use it. And then you better make sure you use it because this is, a lot of times it's life and death situations, but we have to have all those agreements in place and then make sure that we're utilizing them. Now that's a piece of it. The other piece is to make sure that we all train together. We all understand how one another work. We understand what kind of equipment one another have. And so that when we go out and buy equipment, why buy a ladder truck if there's one a half a mile away? So we need to really in the region get a asset inventory and say, well, what do we need and where do we need it? and so that we're not inefficiently buying a piece of apparatus that cost, you know, $500,000 to $1 million.
Do you think leaders in other communities in this area feel the same way that you do?
Well, I would hope that they do. Quite frankly, I don't think it's rocket science. And the way budgets are, we have budget restraints, and we have to make sure that we spend our money wisely, and that's spending your money wisely. We don't have budgets that have so much money in them that we can't, we just can't afford not to be efficient.
Can you talk a little bit about how you feel like the city's budget has changed over time? Do you feel like you're kind of being asked to do more with less, or, you know, what do you feel like has changed in the budgeting?
Well, absolutely. The formula from the state is you have your last year's budget, and you can add to that budget 60% of net new construction. So whatever new construction was, 60% of that you can add to the budget. And then there's a little inflation piece that they derive from somewhere. I've never been able to find where they get that inflation piece, but that's the one they give us. And that's how much your budget can go up. Now, the problem with that is if you're not growing, you're dying. And because if you're not growing, you have no net new construction. And your insurance costs are always going up. Fuel costs are going up. Labor costs are going up. At some point, you're going to have to cut someplace else if you're not growing. As a matter of fact, I sit on the board of the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, and we are dealing with that right now as part of our seminar that we're going to run for those cities in Wisconsin that aren't growing, and strategies that they can come up with that they can somehow, you know, afford their budgets without cutting back essential services.
Yeah, are there communities that are in this area that are an example of those that aren't growing?
We're lucky. Everybody in our county is growing to different degrees, but everybody's growing. We don't have a lot of growth left in Onalaska, but we're going to try to make what growth we have left count.
John, I think this is an interesting idea, the way the state is kind of shaping how local governments can spend their money. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, you know, what we've been seeing in Wisconsin when it comes to, you know, how they influence local budgeting and also shared revenue and how that influences the situation.
Being a local government official is really difficult these days because there are these tax and expenditure limitations that the mayor was talking about. But shared revenue is also declining. So the state is using up more and more of sales and income tax revenue for its own purposes instead of sharing it with local governments. So it's putting a huge strain on local governments to provide the same level of services that they've been providing. Now, uniquely with fire and EMS services, 30 years ago, there were double the number of fires, and yet the fire departments are larger today than they were 30 years ago. That is due to the huge increase in EMS, emergency medical services calls, because our population is aging. So there's a huge strain on providing these services. There's a bigger strain to provide these services when there's less and less money. So to be creative, right, the thought was, we'll consolidate. Because local governments are under the pinch, we'll consolidate, right? And there is a great example in Wisconsin of the 7 North Shore communities around Milwaukee. They created the North Shore Fire Department. And it's the largest consolidated fire department in the state, and it's taught as an example of success across the country. So the idea was, in 1994, they formed the North Shore Fire Department, and the idea was they want to improve services across the region. They had a couple of fires that were really bad, and the combined communities there couldn't respond because of this stuff that the chief was talking about. Different communication systems, different command structure, all of that. So they decided to form this, the seven communities of the North Shore decided to form this fire department in order to improve services, get response times down and all of that, but also to save costs. And there's a really great report done by the Public Policy Forum a couple of years back evaluating the North Shore Fire Department. And basically those seven communities to varying degrees have saved on average $250,000 every year as a result of the consolidation. So there are success stories.
Is this a situation where, I mean, do local governments need more money from the state to continue operating? I mean, is this a problem?
Well, local government is a pay-for-what-you-pay-for situation. Meaning, if you want really good fire service, you have to hire more firefighters. You need to put in more fire hydrants. You have to have good water quality. You have to have really good training. You have to have a good communication infrastructure. Basically, the more money that you can put into fire service, the better response time you're going to have, the better what's the stat, Chief, where people survive from some sort of catastrophic event? Survival rates, right, from emergency calls.
Yeah, it's how quick you get there to deal with the emergency, whether it's you've stopped breathing or your house is on fire. There's a ticking clock going, and the sooner you can get there with, you know, adequately trained responders with the proper equipment, proper training, they can do what they're trained to do, and, you know, it saves lives. It's all about minutes.
All of this together is collectively put into what's known as an ISO rating, an Insurance Service Office rating. This is a third-party organization that rates every single fire department across the state. The better the quality of the fire services are, the more money that's put into fire departments, the better the ISO rating. La Crosse has an ISO rating. The city of La Crosse has an ISO rating of 2. Which is excellent. It's on a 10-point scale, 1 being the best. There's only one community in the state, that's Green Bay, that has a 1.
We're gaining on them.
which is excellent. It's one of the reasons why I live in the city of La Crosse is because emergency medical services are great. But it influences how much people pay for their insurance, right? Homeowners insurance or commercial insurance. So there's a trade-off. The more money that you can put into a fire department, the more money people actually save on their insurance. So there's a little bit of a trade-off, but it's you get what you pay for type of situation. When local governments are handcuffed, they can't put as much into their fire departments, into public safety, and it's going to impact people's lives. It's that simple.
Is there a possibility, you mentioned that there's a real cost savings, there's a real savings for taxpayers if you improve services, but is there potential also that taxes could go up if you're, you know, creating a larger agency in like a small community like the town of Campbell?
Yeah, so this is the concern. This is where people are a little bit mixed. Just a little bit of history, right? After World War II, after the Great Depression, after World War II, there's an effort to rebuild the country, kind of bring the country back because we were investing in this war effort. In this effort, local governments, especially in a metropolitan area, were realizing that the problems that they were facing in this rebuilding were regional in nature. So in the 1950s, there was this push. Let's consolidate services. Let's regionalize. Unigov in Marion County in Indianapolis is an example. Denver is an example. Nashville, Kansas City, Kansas, Louisville. All of these places consolidated city-county services. The idea being we can save money if we consolidate. The evidence is mixed from that. There have not been the cost savings from consolidated overarching government because you had lower paid county employees and town employees. So if you've got volunteer firefighters and or paid on-call firefighters, now they're getting full-time firefighter salary. And, well, it kind of washes out with the management savings, right? Not having to have so many fire chiefs, for example. And it's a wash. So the cost savings have not necessarily been there from overarching government, but there are three areas where cost savings have been found, at least in the academic literature. Fire suppression, DPW fleet services, so like snow plowing stuff, right? Share a snowplow, and you don't have to buy a dozen different snowplows. Water treatment facilities, and then library services. These are the areas where cost savings have been found to be had. So I'm hopeful for regionalized fire suppression services here in La Crosse, but it's a challenge.
Mayor Chilson, what do you think about this, balancing this trade-off of the potential for, you know, residents to save on insurance costs, but, you know, also the potential that people in smaller communities might have to contribute more?
Well, it's a cost-benefit analysis. It's a classic cost-benefit analysis, and you have to be real careful because with your expenditures, if you go $1 over the expenditure cap, in our case, we would lose $143,000. In the case of La Crosse, they would lose $1.4 million if they went over that expenditure cap. So there's a lot at stake.
Is that because the state would then withdraw that money?
Yes, they withdraw their shared revenue if you go over the expenditure cap. Now, you can go out to referendum and ask the voters to exceed the expenditure cap. But, you know, there's an awful lot of referendums coming and going. So because the public schools are in the same boat sometimes, and so there's a lot of competition for those dollars. And, you know, if you do a cost-benefit analysis, you say, you know, if we invest this much into the fire department and we get a better ISO rating and the insurance costs go down, that's a good thing. But we have to make sure that we can bang the gong on that one, so to speak, so that everybody understands. It's not just that the budget went up for fire. You saved it on this end. We might have spent it on this end, but you saved more on this end. So that's kind of the and it is a very classic cost-benefit analysis.
Ken, have we crunched the numbers on what regionalizing fire services or making them more efficient even could save people?
No.
Are you hoping to do that?
Yeah, I think that was the whole thing. Everybody right away assumes it's going to be more expensive, assumes it won't work. But I've been saying for a year now, at every venue, I'm looking to third-party independent analysis, whether it's a project with the UW, whether it's a private consultant firm. There are organizations out there that analyze data. They're not politicians. They're not fire chiefs. They're people that analyze data. Sometimes they look at potential districts or regionalized things, and they say, this makes no sense. It's not going to work. But other times they do say, I think people are a little bit worried about what they might say in this one. I think there's more benefits than losses in it.
Ken Gilliam, chief of the La Crosse Fire Department, is here with us today to talk about the pros and cons of a more regional approach to government agencies like fire departments. Also joining us are Mayor Joe Chilson from the City of Onalaska and John Kavari, UWL Associate Professor of Political Science. Coming up, we'll continue our conversation on the latest push for government regionalization and what it could mean for residents. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. From From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Hope Kerwin. La Crosse and surrounding municipalities have considered regionalizing services like police and fire departments in the past, but new circumstances and leadership have brought the discussion back to the surface. While supporters of regionalization say the effort could save money and improve services, opponents say smaller communities could lose their independence. Joining us to talk about the issue are Joe Chilson, mayor of the city of Onalaska, Ken Gilliam, chief of the La Crosse Fire Department, and John Cavari, an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, who specializes in local government. So we've been talking about this idea of regionalizing the fire department services in the area, but I know that there's some kind of partnership now with the La Crosse Fire Department and Tri-State Ambulance Service to provide more emergency medical. And so I wonder, Ken, if you could talk a little bit about what that new partnership is and kind of what that means for La Crosse Fire.
Absolutely. And I think we hit it on a little bit earlier. The fire department's doing so much more than fire service, fire protection. Really the evolving mission of fire services in America. We've become, I think the current lingo is all hazards response. If you look at the La Crosse Fire Department, we're doing hazardous materials. We're doing technical rope rescue, confined space rescue, vehicle extrication, so many other things beyond just a house on fire. When it gets to emergency medical services, or EMS, our benchmark for hiring is an emergency medical technician basic. From emergency medical technician, the next level provider is a paramedic level response. Going back about 12 to 13 years ago, the city and the fire department was making an approach to run their own ambulance in the center of the current private ambulances area of business, and it got pretty heated. So for about the past decade, there were mechanisms put into place to kind of keep the status quo, so to say. As I came in the door, conversations had already started, but what was happening on our side, a lot of firefighters are going through degree programs to better educate themselves, better position themselves for a job. And what we're seeing coming out of the technical college systems are firefighter paramedics. They're much more employable because there's so many more fire-based EMS entities out around the country. So we're hiring firefighter paramedics, but because of our relationship with our private ambulance service in town, our medical director wasn't allowed to let them operate as paramedics. So they basically become a flight risk because they can't practice here. They've got a tremendous amount of investment and time and money into their paramedic certifications, and they're not allowed to work. So what we saw over the past decade is a huge revolving door on the bottom end, which is extremely costly to the city and the citizens, because these people come and get their foot in the door in a fire department, but then they go work in another city where they can work to the full level of their certifications. As I came in the door here, again, conversations are already underway with Tri-State and Gunderson, but we really started looking at, where are the mutual opportunities, and where we got to was really the end goal of what kind of response are we providing to Joe Q citizen. I've already got a person showing up within a 4-minute response time 90% of the time, and that's a firefighter showing up at your door as a first responder. Perhaps the ambulance is coming a little bit further away, and it's all status, system status management stuff. But I've got this paramedic that's trained to operate as a paramedic, but he's not legally allowed to. That's really doing a disservice to the public. So in partnership with Gunderson, where we got to was getting our medical director the opportunity to check off on our people as paramedics. And with that came a dynamic on their side where the emergency services, police, fire, and EMS has been having a terrible time with recruitment and retention issues, whether it's volunteer or even career. It's becoming a more and more dangerous job. There's increasing professional standards all the time. And I don't know if it's generational or what, but a lot of the kids coming out of high school programs and tech college programs are looking at other things. With that, Tri-State Ambulance had a shortage of paramedics. We've got paramedics that aren't allowed to work, and it's like, the chocolate and the peanut butter commercials from back in the day. We started looking at where we could align, and it was really what we did was voluntarily our people are allowed to go work outside of their normal working shifts to pick up additional training and experience. They would be able to go work to fill critical voids as paramedics on Tri-State Ambulance. With that experience they're gaining there and with that medical direction oversight, basically a level of trust in their skills, they're able to come back over to La Crosse now. And when they're sitting on that fire rig as a first responder, they can now work at that paramedic level. And really the paramedic level, the paramedics save lives. They're able to intubate you and breathe for you. They're allowed to push medications. They're allowed to do a lot of cool stuff these days. And really they're like field doctors, and they're doing some great stuff. So we're in the infancy of that agreement. But it's going really well, you know, so we're going to hit some bumps in the roads. But we've already, just in the last 6 months, we've identified a number of cost-saving things between both organizations, you know, that I think a year from now we'll be able to kind of trumpet and show things that we weren't even thinking about where we've stumbled into going, oh, this is actually going to benefit us both and ultimately benefit the end user.
You mentioned that there's a history behind that conversation, oh, yeah, that the La Crosse Fire Department at one point was pushing to have its own, you know, ambulance service. And, I from what I've heard, that created a bit of tension between the two organizations. And I wonder how that influenced the most recent conversations behind this agreement and kind of that process to reaching the agreement.
Sure. Competition breeds efficiency, and there's two sides to every story, right? So I wasn't here 13, 15 years ago, and, you know, that conversation went the way it did. The city at that point in time thought that they could potentially do a better service to the community, probably gain additional workload for the full-time fire department to help justify it. And we went down this road, and we got into a competitive stance with the largest employer in town. That's going to cause friction politically. And the people in position at the time, you know, it got to where it got to. Luckily, there's a lot of new players at the table, and we came back to a very old subject and looked for a more mutually beneficial ending to it. So I think Gunderson Tri-State, they're doing great things there with the ambulance. The fire department, really, beyond the EMS, I mentioned all the other technical training levels and competencies we have to stay up on. You know, we've got enough to focus on. That EMS call volume is certainly 70% to 80% of our workload on the emergency responses. But beyond that, we've got so much more that we're doing as far as public education, building inspections, and really that community risk reduction or community risk management end of the workload that the fire department's really starting to focus on now, how to get proactive and preventative ahead of any emergencies happening. And I think that's where we're headed now. I'm looking forward to it. Invite me back in a year. I think we're going to have a heck of a story to show some of the efficiencies we've gained in this new partnership with Tri-State.
Mayor Chilson, are you worried that previous tensions between communities could impact this most recent discussion about regionalizing services?
Well, that's always a danger, but that's why we get paid the big bucks. It's my job to show the benefits of that. It's my job to lead in those areas. It's also my job to make sure that to protect the citizens of Onalaska. I'm not going to endanger any of those things. I'm going to lead in a way that I think protects the citizens and in a way that they are on board with what we're trying to do. I'm certainly not here to ram something down anybody's throat. And the council, right now, I'm just leading the discussions. I go back to the council with everything, and they're the ones that make the decisions. So I'm just kind of the go-between right now. I'm the face at the meeting, and I take a lot of notes, and I take that back to the council because it's their decision. And so we're always looking out for the best interest of our people, as La Crosse is, as West Salem, Holman, and all the other municipalities. Everybody's looking for a safer way to do business and a more efficient way to do business.
Is there concern that regionalizing services could cause, you know, like the city of Onalaska, but even smaller communities like the town of Campbell or the town of Shelby, to lose their independence?
Well, I think some of them think that. I've never been a proponent of that. I really don't think that our brand or our identity in Onalaska is solely perched on our fire department or our police department or our Department of Public Works. I think we have assets in all those areas, and including the natural beauty and the schools and all kinds of other things. I do not think that it is solely that we're going to lose our identity because of that.
Yeah, John, I wonder if you could weigh in on this. You know, we've heard this in the past from leaders, especially in smaller communities in the area, about worrying that, you know, losing those local leaders, like we talked about earlier, could lead to losing their independence as municipalities.
Yeah, so there's I think that there's a highly technical kind of data-driven approach to this issue, right? And there's a budgetary component, but there's also a political one. And in order to kind of breach those two issues, I think that it's really important for an honest broker of some kind to come in and try to bring folks to the table and have a good, honest discussion. The Public Policy Forum was involved in forming the North Shore Fire Department in Milwaukee. They brought in a consultant, Tried Data, which is a nationally recognized organization, to do some research, right? To look into the issue, look and see what kind of service levels are available right now, what the cost is for those service levels, and then having an honest conversation about, well, if we improve service, it might cost X amount of dollars, but, you know, a fire truck or an ambulance is going to get to your house 2 minutes quicker, right, which could be a life-saving situation. So, and then it's up to the politicians to really decide, is this a good thing for their community? Now, one of the concerns that I have is that the North Shore Fire Department, which is this great example of success, is a collaboration among kind of equal cities and villages, where these communities they range between 5,000 and 15,000 residents. And there's a greater variation in communities here in La Crosse County. So the challenge is, if there is going to be any kind of consolidated regional services, who's going to pay what? So that funding formula is super, super important. And then the governance structure is super important. So should, you know, 2,000 people be able to veto or impact fire service in Onalaska or La Crosse, and vice versa? What is the level of service that communities want and want to pay for? So those are the challenges. I'm really fascinated as an academic to see what is going to happen.
That's John Kavari, UWL Associate Professor of Political Science, here with us today to talk about the latest push for a more regional approach to government services in La Crosse and surrounding communities. Joining him is Onalaska Mayor Joe Chilson and La Crosse Fire Chief Ken Gilliam. You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. Ken, I wonder what your thoughts on this issue of the imbalance between, you know, cities like La Crosse and then looking at, like, the town of Campbell or the town of Shelby. How do we balance and make sure residents have a voice and balance that power?
Yeah, and I think that's the core of the whole discussion. It's who's paying for what. Small communities are worried they're going to pick up labor costs of La Crosse. I'm countering that going, but for a better level of emergency services protection, what's it worth to you? La Crosse is an internationally accredited organization. There's about 250 of us around the world that can say that. We're meeting national standards 90% or better of the time on a consensus standard in the United States and around the globe. We're doing good things. We got a little bit of a head start on a lot of the communities around here as things have evolved over the past 150 years. So how do we take what we've learned and where we've benefited and spread that out? I think as you look at the smaller communities, there is clear, you asked about the Twin Cities Metro earlier. It's the same all over the country. There are huge issues with volunteer recruitment and retention. Most volunteers are getting paid an hourly salary now as an incentive for training and call volume. There's budgets at each of these organizations, as well as, you know, the duplicative stuff we've talked about. when you throw it all up on the table, is there a better way to manage it is certainly one thing. But really, the end decision, again, I encourage the people listening, I encourage the taxpayers and the voters out there, it's a matter of perspective. Are you about to fill out your check to the tax collector, or are you having the heart attack right now, or is your house on fire right now? It's really, what do you expect? I would encourage all of them to, you know, reach out to their area fire department. You know, I guarantee you right now, we are not all on the same sheet of music as far as the service that we deliver, the expectation of training and standards. And it's not right or wrong. There's a cost to everything. But what do you want as a citizen of this area, this greater community that we all live and thrive in? What do you want showing up at your door on your worst day, you know, on your doorstep? When the house is on fire, it's a predictive thing. Statistics. We have less fires now than we did 20 years ago. However, when you look at the same statistics, you're 20 times more likely to die in a fire today than you were 20 years ago because of the combustible nature of how the houses are being built and all the plastics that we're putting in the houses. Timeliness of getting to a fire response is that much more important, as well as adequate staffing, adequate manpower to get there, do all the things we need to do in under a 10-minute window to safely mitigate that exposure. So we can talk data-driven all day long. I love where you're going with that end of it, John. And it's like just, yeah, I'm excited about the conversation. We're just trying to get the conversation going. I think I encourage residents of all these communities to reach out to their elected leaders and ask, you know, what are we doing about this?
You know, I wonder if part of this conversation, or the reason this conversation is kind of coming up again now, is because we're seeing the fire chiefs in Onalaska and in Holman retiring this summer. I believe the Onalaska fire chief is already retired
yes.
at this point. Mayor Chilson, is there a plan to hire for that position even as these talks are happening?
Yes, there is. Because we feel we need a fire chief, and that is... That was a decision made by the city council and the police and fire commission. I would like to step back just a minute and talk about how those smaller communities and everybody get along. When we combined the tourism, we went through that exercise and how, you know, who was going to get what kind of emphasis and could one of the smaller municipalities cancel something? And we found that we put together a pretty good process, and that all the communities agreed with. And so, you know, there's history here. We have brought together all the communities for this tourism entity. And when we did, they said they've been trying for 30 years to make it happen, and we finally got it to work. I think we can make this work, too. I don't know what it's going to look like. I have no idea. But we need to sit and talk. We need to talk about how we do business. We need to talk about can we train with one another so in a mutual aid situation, we are cogs that are interchangeable. And we need to be able to answer each other's fire calls if the need becomes apparent. I think that's where we start. I think... the budgets and the decisions, those are meetings way down the road. I think first we have to get these definitions on what's going on. Then we have to get, what's MABUS, what's mutual aid, get those agreements all in place. And then we need to also get training all in place, get everybody on the same page that way. And then we can start talking about dollars and cents as we go forward.
And you mentioned MABUS, the Mutual Assistance Box Alarm System, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. What do you see as immediate action steps, as the mayor is alluding to here, immediate changes that we can make as leaders are talking about a regional approach? Mm-hmm. You know, what are ways that we can do this better under the current system?
Well, I think it's the same with any other discussion in government. Citizens need to get in tune with what's going on. That starts here. It's a discussion. Let your elected officials know. A lot of times the vocal minority guides conversation where the silent majority sits and just kind of watches the show. So get active, get in tune, and let your elected leaders know what you think. Beyond that, specific to the fire discussion, we've already got mutual aid agreements in place. I'm encouraging my neighboring fire chiefs to take me at my word that they should be calling us for help. We shouldn't be having assets from smaller entities on opposite sides of La Crosse driving through our town past staff fire stations to come and help. That being said, I'm cognizant of certain taxpayers' opinions within the city of La Crosse that they're paying a little bit more for fire protection. And, you know, maybe we shouldn't be sending our assets out of town to go help our neighbors. That's the whole discussion and where those benefits lie between the more regionalistic approach. I guess the final comment is I can go knock on my neighbor's door and it could go really, really bad. Or I could go knock on my neighbor's door and it could go really, really good. And it just depends on your outlook in life and where you want to guide the discussion. So I'm thinking we're at an opportunity time right now where things could go really, really good for a number of communities. And I hope to hear feedback on that.
We've been talking with Ken Gilliam, Chief of the La Crosse Fire Department, Joe Chilson, Mayor of the City of Onalaska, and John Kavari, UWL Associate Professor of Political Science, about the debate around regionalizing government services like the fire department in the La Crosse area and how it could impact area residents. And that's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. The executive producer for Newsmakers is John Gatto, and our senior news editor and producer is John Davis. If you missed part of today's show, you can find the audio archives at wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers.